There's a code of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
The number 33, what can you tell me about that?
Well, 33 comes from the 33rd degree where the sun sets. And so they give you Jesus coming on to do his ministry at 30. The sun rises at the 30th degree and sets at the 33rd degree.
Oh.
That's why they used it. Now, I've got a caller on the line already from Montreal. It's Heather. Are you there, Heather?
Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
Oh, surviving under this the present conditions.
Yeah, I have a question regarding Freemasonry.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not a long question, actually. My father was a Mason, but I just discovered, actually, just recently this week, and it was a little bit shocking. My cousin just told me my uncle, who I was fairly close to, was a 33rd degree Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was a district grand master of a particular area in Ontario. And I was a little bit, as you can imagine, because I've been researching this and listening to you, and is 33rd degree, is that technically still part of the lower level of Masonry? Or
It's a sort of crowning. It's an honorary degree to get for serving the great work. So it's conferred. The other degrees you work up to, and you learn to parrot things and recite them.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. My cousin told me she remembers him studying, you know, for all these degrees at home and everything. This is I just saw her this week, and I was so surprised. And she said this 33rd degree was conferred on him,
yeah,
sort of as an honorary thing, and so he would be aware of this great work,
would
he?
Yeah. He'd know what it was. And by that time, too, I mean, I've talked to many Masons who've come out of it, who went up high, or higher levels even than that, because there's more to it than 33, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And But they're into the start of the deeper knowledge then. But Masons have a hard time breaking away from it. But the ones who have, and basically been deconditioned out of it, will always say the same thing, that they cannot believe the difference that they now feel after being deprogrammed as to, and how they viewed the world as to how they view it today.
Mm-hmm.
It really does narrow your vision, your way of thinking, along a certain path, and it's a form of mind control in itself, where everything you're taught seems logical at the time, and even the opinions you hear to do with the future and the kind of society, the great society they want to bring in, all seem logical at the time while they're in it. But once they've broken away and had time to reflect, they become afraid that they're actually involved in something like that, especially when they realize that they really did believe it at the time. Mm-hmm. Their minds were taken over. Yeah.
But when my father passed away about 10 years ago, my uncle came to the funeral, and they at the time, I was very grief-stricken, of course, but they did this sort of Masonic ceremony at the funeral, which,
yeah,
I had no clue what this was about. All these symbols they were performing, they stood in a circle at my dad's funeral, and now in retrospect, you know, looking, I'm just sort of shocked that this uncle that I really loved was,
yeah,
you know, had reached such a level of this, you know. So I guess it goes a lot higher than this anyway. I know a lot of presidents and royalty are 33rd degree from the reading I've done, but
mm-hmm,
anyway.
Yes, and even Prince Charles, when he turned 45 years of age, came on stage in London in front of all his peer group, and the lords and all the rest of them were up in their finery, and he gave the Masonic salute of squaring his arm and holding out a glass of wine and so on. And the Duke of Kent, of course, is the official, he's basically the overseer of Freemasonry. He's the Queen's cousin. So it doesn't matter what branch of Masonry you go through, it always ends up with a charter that eventually traces its way back to London, basically.
If a family member is a Mason, from what I've read, too, isn't there a certain, I guess they all band together, and there's a certain amount of protection and support to family members, I think, too.
Well, yeah, at the low levels, not so much. They don't help each other there, although they still claim that they do. Mm-hmm. And he used to help people in distress and so on, financial and otherwise, or even unemployed, to try and find them work. In fact, they must give preference to a Freemason and work and so on. That's why they get up the ladder and they get the promotions, and other people don't and can't figure it out. But at the lower levels, they don't help each other as much as they're supposed to financially, etc. But in the higher levels, in the noble orders, they really, really do. They close ranks and protect themselves. Yeah.
There's a lot to this. Anyway, Alan, I won't keep you. Thanks. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. Yeah, the ones I've talked to that have come out of it and have been deprogrammed all say that, that they see the world entirely differently than they did when they were in Freemasonry. And it scares them to think they were so far gone in this kind of strange tunnel vision where everything seemed to make sense at the time. And they did feel very elitist themselves because they belonged to this brethren.
Okay, also on my webpage, we've got the Bohemian Grove Cult of Conspiracy by Mike Hansen, and then Bohemian Grove video by Alex Jones. Now, getting back to the mindset, these people, most are very, very wealthy, are they not?
Very wealthy, and very often, so you have your power magnates there. You have your big CEOs of massive international corporations, and you also have your top politicians involved, Canadian as well. And no doubt even the Mexican ones will come up, and maybe in further Latin American countries. So it's again, it's power with business and politics combined. Scientific elites also are invited to attend. We know that they discussed the creation of the atom bomb in the Grove with the members at one of their meetings, and it's even said that the decision to ultimately drop it, which is interesting, even the parallels they used, the 33rd degree parallel for Hiroshima.
Really?
Yeah. It was done in the Grove, yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
And why did they call that first obelisk, later to be followed by the Chrysler Building, but that first somewhat obelisk, the Empire State Building, and why is New York the Empire State?
Yes, well, let's go back even further.
Okay.
You'll find when the initial Roman invasion, now it's pre-Christian, invasion of England happened, the Romans first made their headquarters in York, in England,
mm-hmm.
not London. And York, you'll still see the baths of York, they call them, where they even had central heating and everything, quite an amazing setup, and hot running water. And all the rest of it, that was also the banking system which the Romans brought in with them in York. Now, York, you'll notice by Hamlet and Shakespeare, where Hamlet is passing the graveyard and the sextant digs up an old friend, and it was York, it was York, the Duke of York. And he said, "Alas, poor Yorick." That's how they used to pronounce it, Yorick.
Okay.
I knew him well.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
A man of infinite jest and all that. Well, Yorick in old England was a synonym for a skull, the skull, you see.
Uh-huh.
And we know that out of that came the skull and bones, which was also the pirate flag of Queen Elizabeth's navy when they plundered the seas. So it was a skull. Your five senses are head in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's another meaning of the five points of masonry. They're in your head. The upper room sits on 33 steps of the spine. The upper room is your skull. So you go up into the upper room as you descend. You ascend the degrees. It's also in Dante's Inferno, if you read it carefully, how he gets out of hell by climbing up all the 33 steps. But it's all through everything that we know, but most people don't realize what they're talking about.
Here's a blurb they did on their own website at the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Washington, D.C., for the Southern Jurisdiction. They have jurisdictions, they have regions. I don't know if regionalization came, it's all Masonic. And they also have lodges within those regions, and they call them valleys. And you'll get that from Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. He talks about the people on the mountains and the valley people. The valley people were the lowest of the low. So, ha-ha, with those funny guys with their gloves and their pinafores. Here's what they said. Masons from the Washington, D.C. metro area gathered at Naval Lodge No. 4, located at 33, of course, and a zero, of course, would be your degree, eh? Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast on Sunday, December the 31st, 2006, to honor Brother Gerald R. Ford, 33rd Grand Cross. The brethren processed to the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, stopping briefly in front of the Capitol at the statue of former President and Brother James A. Garfield. A brief speech was given by Brother Alan Patterson, Senior Warden of Naval Lodge No. 4, Washington, D.C., and a prayer by Brother Robert W. New, Chaplain for Acacia Lodge No. 16, in Clifton, Virginia. The brethren waited their turn to show their respect and honor to their fallen brother.
The secret societies, generally at the bottom, are no different from the general population, but it's they sieve out of that selected people who are psychopathic and put them right up the ladder into very high orders. You find pretty well all your top scientists belong to very high orders of Masonry. NASA, you get to be a 33rd degree Mason to belong to it.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin and these others did Masonic ceremonies right up there by the Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to know this is a historical fact, that the people in the high level in the astronaut program are all high level Masons.
Mm-hmm. And also what they said a long time ago, 200 years ago in fact, they would first knock down the traditional religions, create a form of atheism, and then out of the atheism they'd bring in a form of earth worship. There's Eric from California there. Are you there, Eric?
Hello, Alan.
Yes.
Yes, I have two questions for you, because I've been stumbling over this. Now, it's off topic, if you don't mind. Now, when one reaches a 33rd degree, are they allowed to go to the Holy Land and view the body of Jesus in a glass casket?
No.
No? That's all false?
Yeah.
Okay. And also...
Yeah, no, I do know once they get to a 33rd degree that they are... They do go across in groups to the Holy Land, but they don't see Jesus in a glass casket, no.
Oh, well, I read somewhere where they had to pay like $5,000.
Nah. I've also got Larry from Minnesota. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, Larry.
Hey, Alan. Glad I got through. I've been waiting a while.
Yes. Go ahead.
I've been following your work for a couple of years now, and got a lot of things I can comment on, but I'll keep it simple tonight. I remember about a year ago, you did a show with Visigoth.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the more esoteric kind of supernatural side of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'd made some comments about, like, a few personal experiences you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you were at hanging out at Aleister Crowley's old house.
Oh yeah.
And then some of the testimony you've heard from some of these higher level Freemasons, and like
mm-hmm.
their odd ceremonies with
yeah,
like red glowing eyes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, the thing is, I've talked to some high Masons who all told me some of the higher ceremonies. These are above 33rd degree. And separate ones, now this could all be a setup, of course, everything can be, but separate ones from different parts of, in fact, different countries, have told me the same ritual, where people are admitted into a room,
that particular degreed people or members are in that room. A candidate from a lower degree is brought up onto this kind of square platform, and a light shines down from the ceiling and envelopes him and the two people who escort them. And they can say, they all both said exactly the same thing. You can see those who escort them, their lights are ruby red, or their eyes are ruby red under the lights. And it's once the guy takes the actual oath, etc., it turns to a red. Now, that could all be a hoax for the public or even for the ones who observe, because these guys play tricks amongst tricks within tricks on their own people.
Alan, how does one arise to the lower, at least the lower echelons? I mean, you can't become part of the ruling elite. That's a birthright, these ancient families, bloodlines. I guess in that case we'd be talking about the Habsburgs from the Holy Roman Empire, the Windsors, the Rothschilds, etc. But how does one rise through or up to at least the lower echelons of this elite group?
It's one of the things which happens in what's loosely called Freemasonry. Many people join it at university under different names, and it's those ones in particular who may get introduced to their potential wife by a grandmaster who'll make a suggestion, which is really an order, if you take a word from the wise, as they say. And it's the third generation that can go beyond the 33rd degree. That's what they're after, the third generation offspring of selective breeding of Freemasons and women who've been reared by in Freemasonic families and probably members of the Eastern Star. That's how it traditionally was.
How about today?
Yeah, but pretty much the same, actually. As I say, it's the third generation they want. So the first generation, if you were introduced to a wife who has been brought up as in a Freemasonic family, the offspring can go higher than you, maybe around the 40, but it's a third generation who can go much, much higher, up to around 90 or so, or even beyond 90, 96.
There are 96 degrees?
In some of them, even in the OTO, the Order Templi Orientis, which Aleister Crowley took over, it already existed, it is a Masonic institute, they have 96.
I was not aware. I knew there were degrees above 33rd degree, but I did not know it went that high.
Yeah, it goes beyond that, too. Then you go into the noble orders, you see, where you're knighted, and then you go up from there.
In ancient times, they used to make big concern over the skull. The skull was the home of thought, the upper room, sitting on the 33 bones of the spinal column. You went into the upper room to think and to share truths. That skull, of course, became a symbol of many of their brotherhoods as they planned their world domination. But truth is always crucified on a place of the skull. Inside your head is where truth is crucified. Henceforth you have a Golgotha. That's what it means. Only you can crucify the truth. And that's why it says, when you do, on our own heads, be it. You make the decision yourself. Not a people, but as an individual person. You make that decision. Some of the higher Masons today still use a skull to drink from. The water of life, you know, the truth, symbolically. Other ones use plastic ones now because they're becoming wimps. You have one life to lead here, to lead yourself out of the matrix. when your mind begins to work, it will start speeding up like an express train, and then you have to also control it. You don't go blurting everything you understand to others who are still inside the old program. They'll turn on you and think you're crazy. The thought that so much has gone in to creating a fake reality from television and their favorite newscasters and those who give them their documentaries, the thought of all that being planned, being part of a structure of control of their minds, is unthinkable to them. That's why mind control does work on such an incredibly vast scale.
Okay, got the mirror in front of me, and the mirror behind me, and the door, and I'm looking at the reflection of the reflection of the reflection, you know, and I'm counting, see how many there are. I get to, like, the 33rd reflection.
Do you want to keep your new girlfriend happy?
All right. All right, you win. There's a serum. It's in a lab on the 33rd floor of Luther Corp.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm here about the young woman that was in that car accident a couple of nights ago. Off Route 33.
Sorry, you were talking about ours?
Listen, I know I'm not Bendini Lambert's most valuable client, but I've got a legitimate complaint here. You never spent 33 hours last month on my account.
Got these check-in details here. John Green staying in room 33.
Take a walk to Wilshire.
Get on the next Red Line bus.
Number 33.
It's cubic ghost nitrogen. It's a new type of explosive with an energy density of 33 kilojoules per gram.
Peter McCall thought Plot 33 was a way out.
What do you mean by that? What is Plot 33?
Does this thing go, Ernie?
Help. Goes to help.
Sub-level 33.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.